We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sure, Ron, go ahead, blow me off. We're going to be in Florida at the exact same time, and you always go to Disney World with your daughter, but not this time, suddenly, just because I'll be there.
No, where are you going to be on that? Where are you going to be?
The Orlando Resort, something at Disney World.
You're not going to be at any resort.
I would come over and meet you and your daughter for lunch, for dinner, for breakfast, and I would treat.
Well, maybe we'll change our plans if that's the case.
I got a tip how I'm hitting the ball. I told you I had a case of the yips. I was like Steve Sachs trying to throw to first base from second. Yeah, chipping. And Eddie Vittmeyer fixed me, Ron, and now I can't wait to get out there. I want to play Pebble Beach at Shooters today at 5:30 p.m. I just scheduled a trip to Florida where I use my Marriott points. Aren't they a miracle,
They're
Ron?
They're a beautiful, beautiful thing.
They're a beautiful thing. They
How
truly
are, you,
are.
First of all,
really
you
happy
here
today.
You weren't here yesterday. Did you have a nice romantic getaway, just you and your wife? First of all, how did your daughter and Bailey make out without you guys?
They were fine. Everything was good.
They probably had a better time without you.
Without
than
us,
with
yeah,
you.
Of course. She slept over at a friend's house. Bailey was with the Bailey sitter. And we were in Buffalo, a romantic getaway to a beautiful little venue called Babeville. It's a little church that was converted into a concert venue in Buffalo on a Tuesday night, Ron. Raul Malo. Raul Malo, the lead singer of the Mavericks,
nice
not the
Italian
Dallas Mavericks.
Dinner beforehand? What'd you
At
have?
At Chef's. I had the chicken parmesan. Everybody in the world goes to Chef's. It's one of those places where they
More
have.
More than the Anchor Bar.
Well,
Maybe
right
not
up there.
That much.
Right up there.
Right.
They have the pictures of the famous people eating lunch and dinner there. Allie McGraw's picture was right up to my right. Ron.
Love Story, right?
Yes.
Wasn't she in Love Story?
The French Connection. Not the movie, the line of Rene Robert, Richard Martin, and Gilbert Perrault. They were up on the wall. And then we stayed at the Hyatt Regency downtown, an absolute ghost town in Buffalo. But it's a beautiful hotel. They have a lot of big events there.
I've been there.
NCAA tournament. You've been to the Hyatt?
I've been to the Hyatt.
What a nice place.
Yep. Sounds like you had a wonderful trip.
We rekindled things,
Ron.
Did you?
Yeah, didn't we, Maddie? Let's fly to him and say we missed him.
Yes.
What happened? Did Pomp come on?
No, but
was Mike Emmerich?
Doc Emmerich was tremendous, as usual.
What is he up to these
days? Well, he's doing a lot of stuff for NBC. They're doing special essays he's having him do, which only he could do so well.
But yes.
He was great, talking Pirates, talking McCutcheon, talking, you know, the Penguins, talking McDavid. We had a very nice, probably about 20 minutes. I was going to tell you the story about Doc. I'm very touched about this. I wrote to him last maybe Thursday, and I said, hey, Doc, any chance you come on with me Wednesday? I'm by myself. He writes back, oh, Ron, sorry, I've been so busy. Can you reach back out later February? Hey, Doc, I understand you're busy. Stay well. So this was Thursday. Sunday, I get a note from him. You got anything in the 10 o'clock hour on Wednesday? He thought enough to reach out to me again to come on in the 10 o'clock hour. I was
beautiful.
I was touched by that. I have a great relationship with him. I don't know how it developed, but you know, he made me sad. He said he's not coming in for the Pirates opener again this year, 2 years in a
row.
Wow.
I thought he might be for McCutcheon.
I thought so too. We always sit together in the third row at the press box. He always sits next to me. It's a tradition we have, and I was telling Maddie yesterday, I don't ask for pictures with anybody. I think the only one I ever did was Muhammad Ali. Pete Diana, the late, great Pete Diana, you know, took that picture. But we're at the last Pirates game, the last time he sat there in an opener. He says to me, Ron, do you mind if I take a selfie? He asked for the selfie. So I have the picture. It's one of my treasured possessions.
Nice.
Of Doc and me. He was fun, wasn't he, Maddie?
He was just fun.
That voice, you just miss it.
And I was saying to Ron right after the interview, even when he speaks and I know that things aren't scripted,
yeah.
He sounds like he's reading from a script, like in his mind, the way that he just puts all of his thoughts together in a nice little package for you and delivers it is amazing.
Very talented man. One of the all-time greats. So meanwhile.
You missed that. We had Mike DeCourcy on talking about Pitt Hoops. He's high on Pitt Hoops. Had him, you know, most people had him, I guess, Lenardi had him 11th, like playing in the play-in game in Detroit against Penn State of all teams.
That
would be fun. DeCourcy said he had him on the 10th line, a little higher. And now after that win last night at North Carolina, I got to figure they're climbing off of that bubble a little bit.
I know. I'm still kind of surprised that they were only on the last four in. So then when I saw that at the beginning of the game last night, I'm like, wow, this is, game is a little bigger than I thought for Pitt, because for whatever reason, they haven't been thought of highly by the computers and voters and bracketologists. They just haven't been.
They were going over that a little bit on the ACC Network broadcast, and I don't think they ever came to a conclusion as to why that is, but they did mention
that
the computers don't like them.
To it all. He said they have so much to gain if they win this game.
Yes.
And I said, what about if they lose? He goes, that won't hurt them, because nobody expected them to win. They were 8.5-point underdogs in that game. He said, unless they had got absolutely destroyed, he said that wouldn't have hurt their tournament resume losing. But he said winning is going to give it a big lift.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting, man? Even that they were 8.5-point underdogs last night?
That's what I saw.
I don't know what it is, why people don't believe in this team, but I love the fact that we can legitimately open today with Pitt Hoops, Ron.
Yeah, we hardly talk about it the last, 5 years?
Yes. I love this. It was appointment viewing for me last night to come home, flick on the game at 7 o'clock, and then I kept thinking during the game, win or lose, this is great. It's a really likable team. It's a passionate team. They're playing a big game against a defending national finalist in North Carolina. It's back and forth at the end, the way you love to see college basketball. For at least now, for this little stretch of time, I don't even care about next year or later. For this little stretch of time, Pitt Hoops is back in terms of that, at least providing us winter entertainment with real games that mean something, and I loved it. But then there's this little Jason Capel dust-up.
Yeah.
What happened here?
I don't get it. Did somebody say the official North Carolina basketball site sent out some tweet that he took personally, that he thought they were trolling him?
Well, this stretches back. Obviously, he played at North Carolina, dreamed of playing there.
His brother played at Duke, obviously.
Right. Jason was a very good player at North Carolina. Helped them to a Final Four, by the way, where they lost to Florida. But apparently his strained relationship with the fans there, I guess you could say, happened when Jeff went and played North Carolina as the coach of Oklahoma. And Jason, I guess, had an Oklahoma jersey rooting for his brother, as you would expect.
The Oklahoma shirt on, yeah.
Right? So I guess that's where it started. And then last night, from their official NC basketball account, they sort of recreate the game day program, or maybe it was an actual photo of the game day program. It shows Creighton Lebo. He's a walk-on and the son of assistant coach Jeff Lebo, someone you normally would never see. And I didn't see any reason. There wasn't like a special story about him. But he wears Jason Capel's number 25, Pitt's in town, and it's him sticking his tongue out, like, I don't know, after a basket or something.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be certainly a shot at Jason Capel.
He certainly took it as a shot.
Yeah. I mean, what else would it be? What else was it than a shot at him?
And there was another incident last year.
I think kind of rather a lame shot, but he took it real personally, and apparently – people could hear him and Jeff screaming outside the locker. I guess it was him more than Jeff screaming outside of the locker room, like, you know, don't you dare troll me or something like that.
Right.
I mean,
well, it had some in and of itself, maybe not a big deal, but there's history. What else happened, Folsy?
Last year when they were in Chapel Hill and they beat them once again, Jason Capel was screaming at the fans saying how North Carolina was soft. I don't know if they were.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know how they were going at him all game, but he went right back after them.
Here's what I think of this. This is great. Pitt basketball, for this little tiny minuscule stretch of time is back in stories like this. They're beating North Carolina. That's the
point.
Five
of the last six times.
It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter if they weren't.
Five of the last six.
They wouldn't bother to troll, right?
Three
Am
times
I right about
wouldn't
that?
Be on
three
the radar
times in a row there. You know, I had read that Carolina had won 12 in a row at home since Pitt beat them last year at home. Now they beat them again. What a great finish. I thought they were going to blow it. They were up like seven, right, with like 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I remember Carolina.
They were also down by a lot before
Carolina
that.
Hit the big three, tie it, and then they actually went ahead by one. And Pitt had the ball, chance to win. And what, Burton, two free throws?
Yes. Well, I mean, it was great. It was a great finish. But I love this. Pitt, this is what you want. This is, you know, back in the days of Pitt-UConn, there would be beef between the teams. Calhoun ripping them.
Great.
Pitt ripping, whatever. This is what you want. I don't know about the particulars of this story, what's true and what's not. I don't care.
Right.
I love
fun.
The fact
it's
that
fun.
Jason Capel is yelling at North Carolina fans and that North Carolina basketball, the bluest of blue bloods, or right up there, is taking time to troll Pitt and then losing to Pitt. This is phenomenal, Ron.
And they're headed to the tournament. I mean, it would take a massive collapse for them not to make the tournament. And that was DeCourcy's point. He said they just can't lose games that they should win. And they don't have many games. You know, they got to play at Florida State, at Notre Dame. But they got some teams they should beat, especially at home. They're going to make the tournament. First time since when? Jamie's last year? Year before Jamie left?
I think they are. I mean, I thought they were in more solid position last night. The fact that Lombardi had them in the first
four. He has them in a play-in game.
That tells me that if they lose even one game here that they shouldn't lose, we might have to be worried
again.
Yeah,
but I think they're going to jump a little bit because of last night's win. The next bracket,
I hope.
The next bracket that comes out, I'll bet they'll be at least 10 or maybe even a 9.
Well, what cue?
They're skating on a little bit of thinner ice than I thought they would be or should be. But I think they're going to make it, too. But
well,
what if they get upset?
The ACC stinks this year, too.
I know. Well, that's
league,
the best news and the worst news.
The whole league doesn't probably get any respect because the conference is bad. Duke is bad.
Yeah.
Carolina is bad. I guess the only really good team is Virginia, and Pitt beat them at home.
And Miami's been ranked. Is Clemson ranked, too, or no?
I don't know if they still are. Pitt lost to them at home, could have won that game.
Yeah.
Ended up beating Miami and Virginia, now Carolina twice.
Carolina twice. So they play one ranked team, that's Miami. But I was surprised by their standing with Lombardi there, and it just tells me, my God, if they get upset by one of these teams, what if Louisville comes in and beats them?
Well, that would be would be a horrendous loss. DeCourcy was left. He goes, if they somehow lose that game, he said, Louisville stinks.
Yeah. I mean,
they're not going to lose it. They will not lose it at home. I think it's next Tuesday night.
Yeah. Bottom line, though, is if they get upset even once, I think there's cause to worry. That's the problem right now. The good news and the bad news is the ACC is down again. Although last year they sort of justified themselves in the tournament.
Yeah.
But it was a down year for the ACC, or
let's
so
see,
everybody
let's
thought.
Let's see what last night's, I don't know, when's his Lenardi's brackets come out? Every 2 or 3 days?
Does he come out real time, Folsey, with these things?
I don't think so.
What were you
going
to say, Folsey, when I so rudely interrupted you?
I honestly don't remember.
I bet it was good.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe,
I don't
wrong.
Remember it.
I think it might have been good, what Folsey was going to say. How about the last play? You tweeted me a photo or texted me a photo of Sabandi. Was it him on that last play?
It was him on that last play.
With the block. Apparently some North Carolina people feel like that was a foul.
Of course.
The last play. It was questionable, but I always thought if you block through the ball, you're allowed to hit the hand. Did you like the sound effect there, Ron? He took a full swing block, too. I don't know that that was necessary.
It was pretty gutsy.
You don't get that call on the road.
Exactly, you know, and I didn't think Pitt got many down the stretch.
Pitt, they would have got that call. At Carolina, that was kind of a surprise.
I don't know that it's in your best interest to take a full swing for a block on that play, but he made the play, and I don't think he fouled on the play. But I'm like Ron, I wouldn't have been surprised if they whistled it. I didn't think Pitt got a lot of the whistles down the stretch. How about the back foul? Was that on Cummings? It was like a back check in hockey where you back into somebody and they flop and they called it. What the hell was that, Ron? Huh?
You're going to get home cooking when you're on a road.
Thankfully, it didn't get cooked till the end. Great play.
What a
great play
by
him
at the end. Just a great, great, great win for them.
Yeah.
You know, this is a team that in the past has found ways to lose close games. Now they're finding ways to win. That comeback against Miami, I think, was maybe their best win of the year. I know they beat Virginia, but, I mean, that comeback win, they were dead. And they came back, a couple steals, won the game.
That was fun. That's another example, Ron. I was at Deep Creek with my friend Mark Ray, the guy who introduced me to golf, that I now beat regularly in golf. And we were standing there.
He's one of the few that you can say that.
Watching our kids go tubing, and I had my phone, and we were watching the pit game. Would I have thought to do that at any point in Capel's tenure up till now? No. I would have intentionally avoided the pit game as a way to ruin my weekend. But this time, they've become appointment viewing. 412-928-9370. Ron, you brought up a good point the other day that, and let me see if I'm paraphrasing you accurately, that it might be difficult for some people to get behind a team or get familiar with a team when so many of the faces are new compared to, you know, the old Pitt teams where they developed over four or five years.
You got to know them a little bit. These guys now, most of them are going to be gone next year. It's going to be a one and done. And I'm not blaming Pitt for that. That's the nature of college basketball now. But to me, it's different, and it's not quite as much fun.
But I'm wondering if people now are starting to get used to the names. I know I am, the best of which, of course, is Federico, who was great last night.
He's been
good all along.
So you start to, that's what happens in a town. A team starts to win. You start to feel like you get to know the players. You get used to watching them, familiar with their games. They're fun, man. And then Nelly Cummings with the local flavor. His brother is going to be coming here. They're fun to watch. Sabandy is really fun to watch.
And you just enjoy the moment now more than ever because this team, as you just mentioned, is full of transfers. It's going to look drastically different next year. And so you just enjoy every bit of this season while it's here.
Exactly. 412-928-9370. Pitt basketball for the moment is back. We might be headed for an NCAA tournament game or two. That's the other thing, Ron. I think they're capable on a given night of beating a lot of teams. They don't have much inside power, although Federico was impressive yesterday. But if they shoot well, these guys are really good.
This team has been a shooting team. It can shoot well.
And they're confident, and they're brash, and they play hard. I love this team, Folsy. You?
Yes, and as you mentioned, Federico, I mean, Bacot really wasn't a factor for most of that game. I mean, I know that he ended up with 15 points, 11 rebounds, so the stat line says that he ended up turning it around. But he wasn't as much of a factor as I thought he would be, and that has a lot to do with Federico underneath.
Yeah, some of these guys, you know, were keyed to North Carolina getting to the national championship game, and as Ron mentioned, they don't lose at home. They were 10-0. Now they're 10-1. This is fun. I'm glad. I'm happy. How much Tom Brady talk did you do yesterday, Ron?
Oh, we did quite a bit. I absolutely want to hear your thoughts on. I also want to hear your thoughts on trading a number one draft choice for a coach. Sean Payton hired by Denver. We should check in with Horse if he's happy with this deal.
I guarantee he is.
But they don't have any picks left. They gave it all up for Russell Wilson. Now they give up more for a coach.
When you have a coach and a quarterback, if they have a quarterback,
see, that's the thing.
That makes up for a lot.
He's brought in for one reason for me, right? To get Russell Wilson going.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, he is. And it brings up another question, too. What if the Steelers ever had an opportunity to trade Mike Tomlin?
We talked about that yesterday.
Lots of coaches have been traded over the years. It's like it's almost a normal thing. 7 or 8 prominent coaches in the NFL have been traded. So we can get into that, Ron.
I want to hear your thoughts when we come back on Tom Brady.
Let's do that.
That's a big story of the day, man.
I have a number on Brady that is absolutely incrinculant. I just wrote about that this morning, about how he tortured the Steelers. Really, there's one way I look at Brady, and I'll tell you what that is next and see if you agree. I'm curious to hear what came up for you guys yesterday topic-wise, because it feels like there's a million different topics on Brady. Best football player ever, best quarterback ever. I saw Mike Francesa went on yesterday. He's still doing his thing in New York. In fact, he did it with what's his name? Mad Dog? Who's Mad
Chris
Dog?
Chris Russo.
Yes.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
Did Folsy say that a little condescendingly, Ron?
Yeah, like you should have known it.
Yeah.
No.
Did you hear that?
I did.
His tone on that.
I did. I thought the same exact thing.
Like, man, you guys are touchy.
Like, you idiot. How did you not
exactly.
know that?
You are the most sensitive men I've ever met.
Go back and replay that in the next segment, Folsy.
No, I don't.
I mean, that was unbelievable. Just dripping with condescension.
By the way, speaking about sensitive, and we know you're not the least bit sensitive. We were talking about you yesterday at the start of the show. Were your ears burning?
What were you saying?
Maybe Maddie can find it for us. The show opening yesterday.
Yes.
Can you find that?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm imagining it.
This is what you missed.
But I want you to replay that next, and maybe. Ironically, you have become sensitive over your insulting tone of voice. And we'll judge that next. Whether, in fact, you are. Maybe I'm the one who's delusional. Maybe you have a little personality fixing to do. The nicest guy on earth.
See what he does, Ron? He deflects everything. He's a constant deflector.
And a flopper, too.
Yeah. Never wants to face his own issues.
All right, so there's tension on the show. I feel it. It's only you and I are, what, second, third day back together?
What day
is this?
This is Thursday. His fourth day, your third day.
Yeah. Really, two and a half. So we'll listen to that, Folsy. We'll judge next your tone of voice. I'm willing to admit if I was wrong, and I want to hear what you guys said about me yesterday. Because
it was all in good fun.
As the old saying goes, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean someone's not out to get you, right? And I feel like you two both are. And then with Brady, yeah, greatest quarterback ever. Francesa, that's where I was going there, said he's not the greatest Super Bowl quarterback ever. There's somebody better. And he's not the greatest regular season quarterback ever. Is he right about those things? Let's talk about all of this coming up. I'm very excited, Ron, for this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.